County cricket, international cricket, test cricket, franchise cricket, red ball, white ball, 100-ball cricket. At The Cricketer, we care about the cricket you love. And that's why we've launched a brand new app built for fans of the English game. Download The Cricketer app and sign up to our Access All Areas Pass to receive agenda-setting journalism and illuminating storytelling straight to your phone. The latest news from the England camps, a dedicated daily service for fans of the 18 first-class counties, and committed coverage of women's cricket. Download the app today and enjoy 1 month for free unlimited access. The Cricketer. We care about the cricket you love.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the County Cricket Podcast in association with our friends at Bear Cricket. I'm your host, Aaron, aka the Cricket Connoisseur, and on my left for tonight's special recording of the County Cricket Podcast, first and foremost, is none other than returning guest and superstar from A Question of Cricket, Mr. Matthew Wiley. So Matt, first things first, mate, thank you very much for coming back onto TCCP tonight. It's a pleasure to get you on for a chat about all things county cricket. I have to ask, mate, how's your day been so far?
Been really well, thanks, mate. Yeah. It's my pleasure to be here. Very much enjoyed the last time I was on. So, and of course, season's not far away now, so looking forward to it.
Well, exactly. Not far at all. In fact, on the day of recording, we're 17 days away from the start of the 2022 Liverpool Victoria County Championship. I'm absolutely champing at the bit for this season, as we'll discuss in a lot more detail in tonight's preview show. And actually joining myself and Matthew for tonight's show is one of our first ever guests here on the County Cricket Podcast. In fact, he came on before myself and Joe even had microphones. So the fact that he's back tonight really is a testament to how far that we've come as a platform. So folks, without further ado, it's an absolute pleasure to welcome back to the County Cricket Podcast Derbyshire seam sensation, Dustin Melton. So Dustin, again, thank you very much for coming back and giving us your time tonight for tonight's preview show. And again, mate, I'll ask you the exact same question. How's your day been so far?
Thank you for that introduction, Aaron. How very kind of you. Well, today has been good. We've been training outdoors. Started really lovely, actually, outdoors. And the sun just kind of disappeared beyond the clouds and it turned quite chilly, but it's been a good day. Boys been out training, had a couple of chats afterwards, nutrition talk, and all those gritty things that you have to chew off that goes on behind the scenes. But other than that, yeah, very good day.
Fantastic here, boys. It really is. And of course, thanks again for coming on, because tonight we have got a very, very special show in store for you listeners. We will be detailing Division 2 of the 2022 Liverpool Victoria County Championship. So in terms of the structure of tonight's show, we'll be doing all of the eight sides. We'll be going through team by team, going through strengths, weaknesses, and maybe introducing a player to watch out for in this year's County Championship. So without further ado, let's start in alphabetical order, hey? I think that's best, lads, isn't it? Probably easier for us lot as well to go in alphabetical order. And that is, of course, Derbyshire County Cricket Club. So considering that we've got one of the Derbyshire players on the podcast tonight, only makes sense to start with yourself, Dustin. Where do you see the real strengths in this Falcons outfit heading into this year's championship?
I mean, it's a tough question to answer, because, I mean, I have to be quite optimistic when I bolstered our batting with the addition of Sean, who's obviously quality. He's had a fantastic white ball season with the PSL. I know he's currently with the Pakistan side against Australia. Hasn't played, unfortunately, but obviously a prolific red ball cricketer. So it'll be nice little addition at the top of the order for us. We've got the stalwarts of Billy, Lewis, Wayne, just to name a couple. Brooke Guest had a fantastic season last season. I feel making his transition to a regular into the first team. So I look at the top of the order, really, and I mean, there's a few other people. There's a spot or two up for grabs there as well. And I know the boys are scrapping for it at the moment. Everyone wants to be at Lords. Everyone wants to play. You know, obviously at the home of cricket. So And everyone just wants to start the season off really well. I think a big strength of ours is the development of our seam attack, particularly. We've been working tirelessly. We're trying to become more rigid, a lot fitter, a lot stronger. Got a lot of variation in the attack. Go from left arm swinging to right arm rockets from like Scrimmy to Marky Cohen. So like we've got a lot of variation in between, and then you've just got the Aitchison and the Connors as well to fill the gaps with young Nick Potts coming through. And I'm missing out on a few, but then obviously you got Saranga Luckmal coming in just to add that element of experience. Obviously he's been a stalwart for Sri Lanka, an unsung hero. From what a lot of prolific players actually speak of. I remember reading a quote that Kumar Sangakkara spoke of him, just kind of saying he's been an unsung hero and a warrior for Sri Lankan cricket. And it'll be lovely to feed off him, really. Mickey kind of tells us that his English isn't necessarily outspoken, like he doesn't really speak very well, but kind of says that cricket is a universal language and you can always speak cricket to people, which is nice to know. I've been trying to teach myself some Xinu, I think it is, which is the more northern language spoken in Sri Lanka, as far as I'm aware. I'm trying to teach myself. It's a very difficult language to actually learn. It's quite high-pitched and you have to be quite, you have to say words quite quickly, and it's quite difficult to phrase some words together. So it's going to take a lot more learning. But I think from our perspective, I can't wait to see the development of our seam attack in particular. I know we've got a lot of talent, and I want to see the boys do well.
Absolutely, don't we all as well? After a difficult season in 2021, fingers crossed that the Falcons can bounce back strong in 2022. And you mentioned Mickey Arthur. I spoke a little bit with Lewis Rees here on the podcast about the impact that Mickey has had on the boys heading into this summer. Just how vital of a role has he played so far in terms of the preparations? And, you know, is there anything you can tell us about his style and his methods as well?
Something that I've noticed quite early with him is that he's fantastic with people. I remember in our first chat, we kind of got together and we were in a room and he's there and I met him. And I remember one of the first things I said to him was it's quite an honor, because I remember being a 10-year-old boy watching the 4-3-8 game, Australia versus South Africa. We all remember how amazing that game was. And I remember being a 10-year-old boy watching that game, falling in love with cricket at the time. And I remember Mark Boucher hitting Brett Lee over his head for four. To finish the game off, and the camera kind of pans to the dressing room, and I remember Mickey, Andre Nall, AB de Villiers, everyone jumping over the balcony on their way down to storm the field. And I remember, like, it was just something that stuck with me, with Mickey. And I remember as a young boy watching him, and never did I ever think we would be in a meeting room at Derbyshire, so 10,000 miles away, kind of sitting in a situation where I've developed as a cricketer to a point where I am now, where I'm actually in a room and he's giving me a speech on how he's going to take Derbyshire to this level that he wants to elevate it to. And I just kind of felt a little bit starstruck, and just it was just a surreal feeling, really. But first, one thing that stood out to me is that he's just fantastic with people. I think he reads people really well. He's an incredible motivator. All he needs to do is just say a couple of things to you, and he knows that you feed off that. So you get people who are intrinsically motivated, extrinsically motivated, and I think he understands which people are work in different ways. I know he's got majority of the squad quite sussed out. And once you know how to manage people, it becomes a lot easier to communicate with them. And I think that's something that a man manager needs to do really well. I know he's been fantastic with the other side of the field, like with the support staff, with with the board. I know he's been fantastic with our supporters, holding forums with them, Q&As with the press as well. I know he's thrown his everything into the club. And from our perspective, of the first initial real impact he's made on me, and of course it was a personal thing for me to do, was become fitter, because I knew he had a policy of you need to be under a certain threshold in order to play, because if you're over a certain threshold, you don't play, simple as. And obviously it scared a lot of the boys, and everyone kind of, well, especially after the season, the injury-riddled season we had last year, to now, like, it kind of just scared everyone, and everyone just kind of got their asses in gear, and we've got cracking on, really.
Well, of course, that'll be good news for the Derbyshire fans heading into this summer. It's good to hear the impact that Mickey's had, to be honest, and I know it is very early days, but as you said, he is throwing his heart and soul into this project. And Mickey, if you're listening to tonight's podcast, you've got an invite on the table to the County Cricket Podcast. It's always there, mate. We can have a discussion about all things international cricket, domestic cricket, and of course those infamous shorts as well. But Matt, we've spoken mostly there about the strengths of that Derbyshire side, and I've just noticed that you are wearing Nottinghamshire gear in tonight's episode, so maybe this is the perfect time to actually discuss the weaknesses of Derbyshire. From a fan's perspective, where do you see the weaknesses in this Falcons outfit? Which kind of bits can you pick apart and think they might be quite vulnerable in these places?
I think you always have to go into a question like that with a sense of perspective in the budget that Derbyshire operate on. Yes, I've got my Notch jacket on. Excuse me, it'd be easy for me to go in and just say, oh, the Nottinghamshire, the champions of these Midlands, etc. But that's because you look at how much money they've got by comparison. But I would say maybe when you look at what I've seen in the past with the Derbyshire, it's certainly in the T20, and forgive me for this, Justin, but the bowling does seem to be slightly way less. I've seen them hit 200. They can easily, the batting, I mean, you look at people like Wayne Madsen, Loose Deploy, who can, you know, they can all hit a long ball, but then it just seemed to me that they can't defend it, or they will, if they're bowling for, they'll let opponents sort of take the game away from them a little bit. So I think if you look at the kind of, if you boil it down in particular, obviously it's quite a small ground as well, so any sort of spin or anything like that is going to get carted away quite quickly at Derbyshire. I mean, you know, so with Nottinghamshire, that's a small ground as well, so that shouldn't really have a massive impact. But the fact that if they're unable to quite defend it, and then in the first class game as well, if they're unable to quite, you know, take that crucial wicket or break that crucial partnership, then that, the game can get away from you a little bit.
Yeah.
So forgive me, you know, I'm not. I'm trying to pick the words carefully because I know I'm talking to a member of Derbyshire's
team attack. No, you're right.
But I do wonder if the batting is the strength, and then perhaps they just need to find that. So, I mean, you know, Lakmal could be the answer. I mean, Mickey Arthur certainly has the answers better than I do. But I do think that if they can find that moment, of that ability, that wicket-taking ability at the crucial time, then that might be the thing that sets them on a better path this year.
I think from our personal perspective, a weak point for us was figuring out how to close a game out, really. We get ourselves into a lot of winning positions, but we just did not get over the line. I know we've had a couple of occasions, like the 50-over game last year against Notts and the game against Warwickshire. And I know it might be a sore subject for both of you because we got over the line, but it was doing that more often than not. We'd get ourselves in those positions, but then we'd fail. So it's kind of a case of handling pressure. So how are we going to handle pressure? And I think that's a big thing for us this season, going into the season now.
Do you think the experience maybe that Mickey Arthur brings, and in fact that the overseas signings, do you think, because I've always wondered if like good performances that don't lead to results can be a result of not having enough experience in the squad. Do you think that experience gives you a bit of a boom?
Yeah. Well, experience goes a long way. I mean, we had an inexperienced team attack last year. And that's just what it was. And that's simple, you know, like that, take the 4-day game, the county championship game against Notts. So Derbyshire v Notts at Derby, where you had the likes of Stuart Broad, Patterson and Luke Fletcher running into bowl. And we had the likes of Sam Connors, Ben Aitchison and George Scrimshaw. Just to name a couple, you know what I mean? And there are years and years of experience between those, the vast experience between the two. And they put on a spectacle. They showed us how we should have bowled in that particular game. And like, as young cricketers, Ben Aitchison and I know Sam Connors went down and spoke to Stuart Broad and Luke Fletcher afterwards just to gain some knowledge and some experience. And I suppose having someone like Saranga come in, we have that in our dressing room so we can share that and we can bounce ideas off him. I can't see why it's a bad addition to our squad.
And that right there, Matt, is why you're on tonight's episode, questions like that. That was an absolutely fantastic question. And yeah, aside from strengths and weaknesses then for that Derbyshire side, because we do have a lot of teams to cover tonight, just one final thing, which is the player to watch. And Dustin, you've alluded to him there. I might as well select this one because I've got his stats right in front of me, but I've got to choose Ben Aitchison. He was fantastic last summer, leading wicket taker for the club, 34 wickets at 23.29. Watch out for this guy. Tall, relatively quick, good strong action, everything you want in a seam bowler. And alongside the likes of yourself, Dustin, Saranga Lakmal, Sam Connors, Mikey Cohen, we'll have to wait and see if you can close out some games. That's a pretty good seam attack at Derbyshire's disposal to go alongside the likes of Wayne Madsen, Sham Masood, Billy Godman, Les Deploy, Lewis Rees, etc., etc. So we'll have to wait and see. But it could be an interesting season for Derbyshire. And of course, if you are in the Derby area, get yourself down to the Ancora ground. That's all I'll say. But moving on from the East Midlands then, let's go to the Northeast. Let's go to Durham, a side which, to be honest, I was very impressed with last summer. Very impressed. They absolutely dispatched Warwickshire at the Riverside, and they were very close to reaching Division One. Matt, I'll start with you first for this one. In terms of that Durham side, I think the obvious strength is the seam attack. But aside from the seam attack, you can mention that as well if you want, but where do you see the real strengths of this Durham outfit heading into this year's championship?
Well, the obvious one has to be one man, doesn't it? Excuse me, sorry, that's David Beddingham, who I think he was slightly toppled at the run scoring charts, wasn't he? I think we might come on to who did topple him, actually. But I know that he got to 1,000 runs ridiculously quickly. And he did it in the early part of the season as well, which is massive because obviously we get all this talk, don't we, early on that playing the championship in April when the ball's doing a bit, when the pitches are slightly green and there's a bit of moisture in the air, that the batters struggle and it's a bowling friendly haven, and there's definitely something in that. And then for a batsman to do so well as Beddingham did, the very first game of last season when he got he got 50 in the first innings at Trent Bridge, and then he went on to make a massive 100 in the second. And you know, this is early April, so this is just a colossal boost to here to Durham. Of course, you mentioned the seam attack, didn't you? If you're talking about green seamer friendly conditions, you can't not mention Chris Rushworth, who is continues to do it. I don't know how old he is now. He's fully, I would say, 35, 36, but he just carries on doing it, doesn't he? So, yeah, you're right. They're an impressive team. And we should be watching out for him in that promotion race, definitely.
Absolutely. I think they'll be up there as well. And just mentioning those star performers, actually, Matt, you've mentioned both the guys who I would have mentioned. David Beddingham, 1,029 runs at 60.52, including three century plus scores in 2021. And then the Northeast's finest, Christopher Rushworth, 59 wickets at 18.18. Those two are going to be absolutely pivotal to Durham's success in this year's county championship. And you just look at that seam attack with the likes of Rushy. You got Ben Rain, you got Mark Wood potentially, Bryden Cass, you got Matty Potts, Matt Salisbury. That is some seam attack. That is going to be absolutely terrifying to face.
Paul Coughlin as well. Fantastic bowler as well.
Great point, yep. Coggers, he's in there as well. And we're mentioning seamers there. They've also brought in Keegan Peterson, who, for those who don't know, very, very talented batsman from South Africa. Watched him for years at the Knights. Of course, he's gone on to be quite prolific now in the international arena in Test cricket. They have got a very, very strong team on paper. But Dustin, for you personally, we've mentioned a lot about their strengths, their strong points. Where do you see the weaknesses in this Durham outfit?
If I'm honest with you, I always find them quite a tough team to play against. I do feel like they were a little bit more vulnerable from an opponent point of view. I felt like where we could potentially exploit a weakness would be the batting. We obviously know that their seam attack, I mean, the seam attack we faced when they came and played against us was Braden Coss, Chris Ruthworth, Ben Rain and Mark Wood. And it was just, that's all they needed, really. They just needed those four seamers steaming in at us. But so from our perspective, their batting is something that we could have exploited as a potential weakness. We knew if we got rid of the top four sort of thing, then we could have exposed the middle. The middle and the tail a little bit, which I think we did quite well last year. That's potentially it, really. I know white ball cricket, they're quite strong. They've generally always been quite strong. But from a red ball cricketing front, I think that's something that you would look at.
Most certainly is. And just one other thing that I would say, in terms of their spin attack, they are relatively inexperienced. In fact, I've got the numbers in front of me. Liam Travaskis, 14 first-class games. George Russell, 7 games. And Harry Crawshaw, 0 first-class games. So between them, 21 first-class appearances. You have got Scott Borthwick, though, to provide some leg spin, provide that wealth of experience in the spin department. But I tell you what, that seam attack, I'm going to keep on mentioning it.
It's crazy, difficult to see a spinner, just select a spinner when you got seam attack like that. And I suppose with the wickets that we were playing on, especially in the beginning of the season last year, it's difficult for a spinner to find their way into most sides, really. It's top side and top seam attack.
They are indeed. They are indeed. And Dustin, because you played them a couple of occasions last summer, actually, I'll ask you for your player to watch. Who do you think that Durham fans this summer should be keeping extra tabs on? Who should they be keeping a close eye out on for with regards to the championship in 2022?
Potts. It's a no-brainer for me. I think he's a fantastic bowler. I think he bowls quickly. I think he's got good skill, especially in the white ball stuff. I mean, he earned his right to go over to the PSL. And play there. I think he's built really strong. He's quite durable. Runs in consistently. Hits the bat hard. And I think if he can add a little bit more to his arsenal with the red ball, I think he can be a fantastic player.
Great choice. Very, very good choice. And to be honest, Durham, I think, are going to make a very, very strong promotion charge in 2022. Of course, Dustin, as you rightfully said, the middle order does need to be a bit more stable, a bit more compact, provide the likes of Beddingham and Borthwick with a bit more of a base, I suppose, to protect the tail. But if they can do that, that seam attack is one of the best in the country, let alone Division 2. So Durham fans, again, could be an interesting season. Get yourself down to the Riverside and watch the likes of David Beddingham, Keegan Peterson, Chris Rushworth, etc., etc., in full flow. But moving from the northeast then, we now go down to the west. In fact, the most westerly county in county cricket, Glamorgan. Wales's only county in the competition, and a side which, to be honest, last year had a bit of a mixed time in Group 3 in 2021. So, Matt, I'll start with you first with this one again. When it comes to Glamorgan, obviously they've got some pretty big signings moving into this summer, with the likes of Sam Northeast, Eddie Byram's come in from Somerset, James Harris as well, from Middlesex, Alex Horton and Tegid Phillips have come up through the academy. Where do you see the strengths in this Welsh outfit heading into this summer?
Well, again, if you mention it, I've got to talk about Mbatha, haven't I, in terms of, I don't know how long he'll be available for or how many games they'll have him for, etc. But Marnus Nauran Labuschagne will be pivotal, won't he? I know he didn't quite set the world alight in the championship to the levels that he did in 2020 last year, but you know, he's still inhumanly talented, isn't he? And the fact that, and you know, that's the thing that English cricket fans will know only too well from what we've just seen down under this winter. But yeah, you're right, they've made some smart recruitment. I've always thought Glamorgan could be a bit of a sleeping giant, because I know we could come back to this kind of the issue of money. Glamorgan, they are an international venue. They do get, they've got a, forgive me if I'm maybe not, if this is a bit of a taboo subject, 100. They've got 100 team, haven't they? But, you know, they should do well. They should be well-funded, and I always feel like they underachieve a little bit. So if they've made that smart recruitment, then, yeah, I think they look pretty strong all over the field, with the possible exception that the batting might be stronger than the bowling. But, you know, well, like I said, James Harris will go a long way, certainly. He might not solve it on his own, but he will certainly go a long way to helping solve it, that's for sure.
Absolutely. And to be honest, Matt, I'm very, very happy that you mentioned the bowling, because that for me is the standout weakness when it comes to Glamorgan, at least from 2021. I think some of that might carry over if they're not careful. In 2021, as a unit, Glamorgan took 168 wickets. That's the second lowest total in the entire circuit. In fact, it was only ahead of Surrey, who took 164 wickets. Sophia Gardens isn't an absolute graveyard. You can take wickets there. We saw that on numerous occasions. That bowling attack has got to improve. But the fact is, you've got the options there. James Harris, experience. You can't buy experience. He's going to be a vital component for Glam heading into this summer's championship. You've also got the experienced, the stalwarts, Michael Hogan, who again needs to come onto our podcast at some point. They've got Michael Nisa coming in from Australia, who, as we know, very prolific, very potent, great proponent of swing bowling, was fantastic for Australia in the Ashes. And then you've got the likes of Tim van der Hoogten as well. So maybe that's something which Glamorgan could improve upon heading into this summer's championship. But Dustin, do you agree with that? Or do you think there's something else which Glamorgan need to work on? How do you see the Welsh outfit in terms of vulnerabilities and potential weaknesses?
If I'm completely honest, I don't really know a hell of a lot about Glamorgan. I haven't really played against them. I think I'm away back from injury last year. I kind of fielded in a warm-up game or in a second team game against them. But I do know of the fact that they have recruited some lovely talent, obviously in Manus and Michael. He was someone who stood out for me particularly, because I watched him when we played it against Australia, when Australians made their tour around in their Ashes when they came here. I remember watching him bowl and I thought, this lad can play. He's a lovely player, along with Marnus, and both of them are just obviously quite influential cricketers. They can change the game. I wouldn't be doing them any favours by trying to point out something that they could potentially be weaker on or stronger at, but because I haven't really read up much about them. I've just seen the odd fixtures where they do actually create something out of nothing, or they just kind of just falter away and just the game just gets taken away from them completely. From what I remember is that it does turn at Sophia Gardens. So maybe the inclusion of some spin could potentially help them in the future or working on this. And I know, is it Callum Taylor? I think is he the spinner for them? I know they've targeted and lined him up quite a bit. And I think personally, like if they can just groove that and nurture that a little bit, they could be quite impactful.
They could indeed. I think it's been an interesting summer for Glam personally. I really do. Again, Matt, as you said, a side which on paper should be doing a lot better than they have done. And I mean, last summer they showed these glimpses of brilliance, but they couldn't fit it together at times. And against the likes of Lancs and Yorkshire, for example, things did begin to unravel. But again, 2022, brand new season, brand new opportunity. Who knows? This could be the year that Glamorgan do finally put it all together. And in terms of players to watch out for, Matt, I'll go to you for this one. I imagine it's going to be Marnus, but if it isn't Marnus, who would you choose from that Glamorgan outfit?
Yeah, Marnus, I suppose if you say that he's potentially not going to be available for the whole summer, or he's going to be away for parts of the summer, I might pick Sam Northeast, actually, who's been a consistent level county performer. I don't know quite what happened at Hampshire. I think he just sort of fell away a little bit, didn't he? I know that's a really tough side to break into down there. But, you know, they've got themselves a really solid, dependable county backman. He's not anywhere near the England team, so there's no danger of losing him for any great stretches of the season. But he could still score quite heavily. You know, I got a chance to watch him on a couple of occasions when he came to Nottinghamshire at the back end of last season. And he's got a good technique. Of course he has. He's done so well. You know, you don't get to the level that he's got without some serious pedigree. So I think when you look at him, in terms of backing up to Labuschagne, but then again, you did mention the bowling being the weak point. And I mean, Hogan, is he going to retire fairly soon? I think
this is his final season.
So he is, if he can do what he's done repeatedly over the last season, over the last few years, if he can do that, then he might be the linchpin. But if I mention Northeast, he doesn't really improve their weak spot. So I do wonder if it might be more of the same. Naser could improve things a little bit, but yeah, it feels Northeast might be a bit like for like in terms of just improving their strong part and not doing anything about the real issues. So yeah, they should be doing better, but I'm a little bit doubtful, I'll be honest.
Well, we'll have to wait and see. We'll have to wait and see. It's a shame that my Welsh co-host Lucy wasn't here tonight, because she would have been talking all sorts about Glamorgan. She probably could have given us some nice insight, but yeah, Lucy's not here this week. I think she's in London or Cheltenham. It was one of the two. I can't remember exactly where our Welsh co-host is this week, but yeah, Lucy should be back for the season with her usual Glamorgan bias at some point. But moving from Wales then, let's go back to the East Midlands and let's go to the Foxes, Leicestershire County Cricket Club. A very interesting side, it has to be said. A team which has a clear direction, a clear sense of identity, I think, at least considered, or at least compared to where they used to be in the mid-2010s. In terms of transfers, Dieter Klein has been released, so that's a big loss on the experience front. But the Foxes have brought in the likes of Vian Mulder from South Africa, Bjorn Hendricks also from South Africa, Roman Walker from Glamorgan, and Tom Scriven from Hampshire. So some interesting transfers for the Foxes. And just to give some context to this, actually, heading into the 2022 season, Leicestershire's average age in their squad is just 25 years of age. 25. They're one of the youngest squads in county cricket heading into 2022. So, Matt, I'll start with you first, mate. In terms of strengths, where are the strong points of this Foxes side, in your personal opinion?
Well, I'll be honest, I didn't know about that stat about the youth. But it doesn't surprise me, because you mentioned they do have a really clear direction. I think that was started by, his name escapes me, now the CEO.
Sean Jarvis.
Cricket. Yes. He started things off, didn't he? He implemented this when they were all at sea, and he's given them a real purpose, and I like what they're doing. But I think if you're asking me to nail down one player, it will have to be Lewis Hill, who, to be honest, when I was doing my little, what you guys do, only not quite as good a little bit last season, I checked over the scorecards, and it always seemed to me that he would always be there with a, it might not have always been a 50, but it'd always be a 30. It'd always be a really crucial little knock. And I mean, I don't know if he, I don't know if you've got his numbers in front of you or anything, but he go on.
Oh, I have indeed. It's the County Cricket Podcast, Matt.
This is well researched, isn't it?
Exactly. Lewis Hill, 944 runs at 44.95. Leicestershire's lead and run scorer. So great choice there, Matt. Absolutely in agreement with you there.
You just popped up with that, didn't he? But then, in the bowling department, his brother is on tour with England, isn't he? But his twin brother, in fact, he could easily get the two mixed up. But Callum Parkinson, who is a superb spin bowler as well, isn't he?
He is indeed, 50 wickets at 29.04 for Cal Parkey. Again, the Foxes leading wicket taker. Also have to mention Chris Wright. He took 49 wickets for the Foxes last summer. So they've got some real star performers in there. In that squad, Colin Ackerman, of course, his experience, he provides so much in that team and is a fantastic leader. I also think they've got quite an interesting top order with Hassan Azad and Sam Evans. I know they're not necessarily household names by any stretch of the imagination in the wider context of English cricket, but they do their job. And that's what I quite like about them. And that'll be absolutely vital for the Foxes heading into this summer. But aside from strengths then, in fact, Dustin, before I go to you, I just want to mention one of the weaknesses. And that is an over-reliance on those two bowlers that I mentioned beforehand. Chris Wright and Callum Parkinson took 99 wickets between them. That's an awful lot of wickets between two bowlers. And by Leicestershire's own admission, the rest of the attack didn't really fire in 2021. Mm. So if they are to really challenge for that promotion spot, they've got to take wickets. They've got to support those two. You've got two excellent bowlers there. Parkey with the spin, Wrighty with the seam and the swing. But they need support. And if they don't get that support, that could be a massive Achilles heel for the Foxes heading into this summer. But aside from that, Dustin, again, do you see any other weaknesses, any other areas which could potentially be exploited in that Foxes lineup?
I think with just going on from what you just finished up with there, an important thing to remember is that sometimes it's not always about the wickets. So we look at, let's say, for example, we look at a Sri Lanka and what Suranga Lakmal did for Sri Lanka. He didn't take a whole heap of wickets. He didn't need to. As long as he controlled the scoreboard, which is a policy that a lot of counties will work with, as long as he can bowl economically and put pressure and build pressure, the wickets and the rewards will come. It might not be for you, even though you've built it. It might be for someone else. And unfortunately, at the end of the day, Wright's Chris Wright's a fantastic bowler. He's a seasoned pro. He knows what he's doing. He does threaten the outside edge of the bat more often than not. Cal Parkinson's obviously come into his own. He's matured a lot as a cricketer. He's obviously the vice captain now. And I know he'll be trying to edge out his brother, who's obviously, playing ahead of him from a spinner's point of view. I know he'll be wanting to challenge for a spot for England, which is understandable. And the thing is, of course, you're going to rely on your bigger players, your bigger name players, and because you expect X amount from them. I feel like they could potentially benefit from just building pressure as a seaming unit in general. It's something that I know we're working on, for example, and I know it's something they're probably working on. I can only assume, and it's just being able to consistently build pressure over an X amount of time, because once you do that, wickets will come. So the more often you put ball in the right spot, the more often your chance, or the better your chances are potentially getting that wicket. So ultimately, it just shows that if someone's capable of doing that, you might not get the reward, but someone else will. So you look at Chris Wright's stats, he could have probably benefited from someone else doing a good job at tying up one end. And because he's a little bit more threatening, someone could have forced an error, try to play a forced shot, just nick it through to the slips of the keeper. And that's generally probably how I would imagine him getting his wickets. So I don't know, from our personal perspective, I feel like they came into their own a little bit more. They started showing a little bit more what they were about last year. They're probably in a similar boat to Derbyshire, probably written off more often than not. And I know Paul Nixon's obviously doing a hell of a job with them, trying to turn it around. I know they've got a new theme called the new breed of running Foxes, and it looks like they're just building a nice little squad. Obviously, just trying to make good friends out of each other. And it's probably something that you can always benefit from. So from my personal perspective, I feel like they could potentially explore a little bit more of your Ben Marks or just an all-rounder department, which is probably where Vian Mulder comes in for him. So that's probably what they'll be looking at doing. That's probably my thoughts.
Absolutely. Funnily enough, you've just taken the words straight out of my mouth there, Dustin, with regards to Vian Mulder. You mentioned about holding up an end. He'll be vital for that. And Bron Hendricks, as we've seen in South Africa, is a bit of a known wicket taker. I know that necessarily hasn't translated at times into the international arena. If you look at his domestic stats in South Africa, he's a potent wicket taker. So watch out for those two. I think they're going to be two massive additions for the Foxes. Obviously, have international experience as well, which is something they were lacking at times in 2021. So, yeah, that'll be interesting. And Matt, I'll go to you for the player to watch. Who would you go for from the Foxes before we move on to Middlesex?
Well, okay. And to be honest, if you'd asked me this question before I departed for Gloucester, you would have absolutely had to say Marcus Harris, wouldn't you? He will be a colossal loss and somebody that they've got to, someone will have to step up and kind of do his job. But I think, who've left you got? Yeah, do you know what? I've already mentioned him actually, but I will go for Callum Parkinson because quality spinners, I don't know what Matt and Callum Parkinson had at After School Club, but clearly it was something quite that put quite a bit of talent, quite a bit of fire into the bellies. I should quickly mention as well, I have a friend who went to Lancashire Nats who claimed he was bowled at by Matt Parkinson. He rates himself. If he's listening, he definitely rates himself. So I think these two have to be at the top of the game. But Callum Parkinson, like I was saying, quality spinners are really, really difficult to come by in the English game. And I think if you're looking for a wild card, that's where you can turn to get one. So, you know, the good batsman, you've got to be, of course, you've got to have good technique. There's a lot that goes into being a good batsman. But I think, yeah, a little X factor is a quality leg spinner like Callum Parkinson.
Absolutely, Matt. Well, we'll have to wait and see if Parky and Wrighty and the rest of that bowling attack can be proficient in 2022. But again, with Leicestershire, even if they don't have a great 2022, you've got to think of the bigger picture. It's all about long-term, sustainable success for that club. So wishing the Foxes all the very best of luck heading into this summer. And moving from the East Midlands then, let's go down to the home of cricket. Let's go down to Middlesex County Cricket Club. And before we talk about anything else with regards to this squad, one name in particular shines out like an absolute beacon, and that is, of course, Shaheen Shah Afridi. One of the most exciting seamers in world cricket is gracing the county circuit in 2022. Dustin, as a fellow seam bowler, how exciting does that make you feel? I mean, maybe not so much in terms of the batting and facing Shaheen, but in terms of the prospect of even just watching him bowl, do his thing. How exciting is this for English county cricket?
Well, personally, I would relish batting against him. I might not enjoy it too much, but I would relish the opportunity just to see how the man operates. I've watched countless of videos on him. I get enthralled by his white ball cricket and his thought processes and his strategies to specific batsmen, how he goes about setting someone up, what he bowls early on in the over compared to later, when to use the bouncer, when not. I think he's a fantastic cricketer. I think he fully deserved being named the ICC Cricket of the Year, Men's Cricket of the Year, sorry. And I think he's an unbelievable signing, and any club would be lucky to have someone like him join their ranks.
Absolutely. It is really, really exciting to see Shaheen back in county cricket. Of course, had that stint beforehand with Hampshire in 2020, when 2022 fans back in the stadiums, I think he's going to be absolutely blockbuster. So can't wait to see him in action. And aside from Shaheen, of course, you got Mr. Reliable, Tim Murta, who will be the club captain in 2022. He took 58 wickets at 18.6 in last year's championship. And then you got Sam Robson, former English test batsman, with 1,047 runs at 40.26. Matt, where do you see their real strengths? And in fact, I'll go strengths and weaknesses for this one, Matt. Where do you see Middlesex in terms of their strong points, their vulnerabilities. How do you assess the Saxes heading into this upcoming county season?
They are quite an all-rounded side, aren't they? When you look at, you mentioned a couple of decent names there. They've definitely got a strong batting lineup. You can start with that. You mentioned Robson, Stevie Eskenazi as well, who's I still don't think particularly old, is he? He's not. He's certainly still feeling his way in, I think. They've got quite a nice looking top order, and especially opening pair. I mean, Mark Stoneman, they've signed him, haven't they, from across the River Thames. I think you'd be pushed to find a better opening pair that can open on a regular basis in county cricket than Stoneman and Robson. You know, they've both got England Test pedigree, haven't they? But obviously the thing with Lords, being quite a spacious ground, you have to bat well to score runs there. So that's why you need batsmen of that quality. But then in the bowling department, who can you think of? I know they've got Ethan Bamber coming through, haven't they? Who I don't know. I know he did all that in the One Day Cup, but I don't know if he's quite what his red ball record is just yet. And they've lost Stephen Finn, haven't they? Who again was sort of developing himself into more of a white ball specialist, but I know he's gone as well. So I think with Shaheen, obviously, I will literally put my hands up and say about 18 months ago, I was very unconvinced by Shaheen Afridi. I didn't quite understand what the hype was about, but I definitely do now. So I think, obviously, they'll have shelled out a lot of money for him. And again, keep coming back to it, they've got plenty of it. But they're quite a well-rounded team, aren't they? You have to be honest. Maybe that batting is a little bit stronger than the bowling. But no, they're a balanced outfit. And I'm trying to think, John Simpson will keep wicket, won't he? He's proven himself quite recently. You've got good performers all down the order. I do wonder, actually, having said that, do they lack a bit of a spinner who will do their spinning? Maybe that's off the top of my head, a bit of a weak spot. But no, I think all round, they're a good team.
Well, they are indeed, Matt. And just to give some statistical context, I suppose, two Middlesex heading into this summer, you mentioned Stoneman and Robson. They had that 376-run opening stand against Sussex at Hove last season, so you imagine that they'll be back in the runs again this summer. And that seam attack, again, we've been doing our maths here at the Counter Cricket Podcast, we've been doing our research. Tim Murtagh, 899 first-class wickets. Toby Rowland-Jones, 428. Shaheen Shah Afridi, 114. That's over 1,400 first-class wickets between those three alone on a pitch which is, shall we say, quite seam conducive. The home of cricket, it's not exactly the worst place in the world to bowl seam. And Ethan Bamber, you mentioned him, Matt, 52 wickets last summer for Middlesex, their second leading wicket taker. So definitely someone to watch out for heading into this summer. On the flip side of that, though, and again, we can't quite provide all of the context behind this. You do have to remember different surfaces, different conditions. But Middlesex completed 26 innings in 2021. In 11 of them, they scored less than 200 runs. So we're not talking run chases, we're talking completed innings. So all 10 wickets have fallen. That's something which is a lot higher compared to the rest of the division. We spoke about Durham earlier with quite a seam conducive pitch at the Riverside. They had 7. Sussex also had 7. Those were in the ballpark, but not as high as 11. So if Middlesex are to challenge, those batting collapses need to be a lot less frequent. And if they can do that, I do think they'll be strong contenders in this year's Division 2 of the County Championship. And in terms of players to watch, I'll go with the player to watch, Ethan Bamber. I think he is honestly someone with a really, really high ceiling. We've had him on the podcast. He's got a lovely cricket brain, knows exactly what he's talking about, has a really, really positive attitude to the game as well. Good, strong action. Yeah, I think Ethan Bamba will be someone to watch out for heading into 2022. So moving on from North London then, let's go back to the final time to the East Midlands. And if only we had someone on this podcast who knew about Nottinghamshire County Cricket Club and maybe was wearing the attire of the club itself. Oh yeah, we do. His name's Matt. So Matt, who better to talk about Nottinghamshire, talk about the Outlaws than yourself? How do you assess Nottinghamshire chances in this year's Division 2 of the Championship? They've got to be up there, surely.
I would definitely hope so, yes. I think, you know, I'll try and be as level-headed as I can. But I definitely think you'd have to say there's a case, or certainly a question to answer as to why Nottinghamshire are at this level. Because obviously these divisions are based on 2019, what happened in 2019, aren't they? And don't get me wrong, 2019 were shocking. And indeed, before I started covering them, they were terrible. They went down, I don't think they won a game in 2019. And so obviously, and then 2020 and COVID hit. But they were supposed to be in Division 2 in 2020. But since then, and I mean, obviously what we saw last year was a massively different team. You know, a team that won, I think, 7 or 8 games. I really should know that off the top of my head, but I don't. Yeah, I think it's at least 7 games. And has some absolutely outstanding talent. I mean, Dustin, you mentioned it earlier when we were talking about the Derbyshire-Nottinghamshire game. You know, that bowling attack is... not something that I'd want to go anywhere near. You know, Stuart Broad, who England lost, will be Nottinghamshire's gigantic gain. Dane Patterson's coming back. Luke Fletcher, who had a brilliant season. And, you know, I've spoken to Kevin Shine on a couple of occasions while I was there last season, and he's a very, very... He's a very unhurried, unflustered operator. He knows exactly what he's doing. He knows how he's going to do it. And he will improve those bowlers. He'll just take them to another level. And then just as if that wasn't enough, you've got Jimmy Pattinson coming back over from Australia as well. So, you know, that has to be. I mean, I know we've talked about Durham having quite a quality seam attack. But, you know, Patterson, Broad, that is, I don't know how many international caps they've got between them, but... Yeah, that's just unbelievable, frankly. And then, again, batting, Ben Slater and Hasib Hameed. Hameed, obviously, breaking back into the England team. Maybe a little bit soon, who knows. Didn't do particularly brilliantly in Australia. Not entirely his fault, but didn't do particularly brilliantly. Maybe back to the summer again, who knows, we might see him, we might not. But yeah, again, that top order... we've got Slater, who is leading run scorer. He just seemed to do it at all levels. Hameed, who's that unhurried, solid red ball opener. The overseas signings have definitely been made in the bowling department. But I think, you know, when you look at that side, I'm excited, put it that way. I'm really excited.
And as you should be, to be honest, you mentioned about the batting talent. In 2021, Ben Slater, 837 runs at 39.85. Not the most in the division, but the really impressive thing about Notts was the distribution of runs. So you had Ben Duckett, Joe Clark, Hasib Hameed, Liam Paterson-White, Lyndon James and Stephen Mullaney. Every single one of those players scored over 500 runs last summer. So this is a batting unit which scores big. And then with the ball, talking of things that are big, the big man himself, Luke Fletcher, a legend here in county cricket, 66 wickets at 14.9. Dane Patterson took 54 wickets, 110 wickets between those two bowlers. They are going to be causing all sorts of issues in this year's championship. But, and I had to do some digging for this, and I'd like to know both of your opinions on this, actually. I did see a little bit of a niche weakness with Notts. And I'll give it some context. In 2021, Nottinghamshire had 4 opportunities to chase for victory. This resulted in 1 win against Yorkshire, final game of the season, 2 losses against Warwickshire and Hampshire respectively, and a draw against Durham. By comparison, Notts had a record of 6 wins, 3 draws, and 1 loss against Warwickshire when batting first. That's a 60% win rate compared to a 25% win rate. And interestingly enough, it goes back further than that. So before that game against Yorkshire, the 5-wicket victory at Trent Bridge in that last game of the season, Notts had not had a successful run chase in the county championship since April 2018. So 3 years, it took them 3 years and a Bobolish trophy to get a run chase victory. Could that be a weakness, Dustin, heading into this summer?
I don't particularly know. Like, it's difficult because you have to take conditions into account. Yes, and any team will tell you that it's difficult to chase down runs. First of all, you need to know how much time you have left, how many runs you're trying to get. Like, is it worth going for it? Is it not? I think the difficult thing is, I think sometimes the game just got slightly away from them. And I think they could have just... I remember watching that game against Warwickshire, that Notts Warwickshire game. And obviously, they had the mindset of blocking it out and trying to stay there, which was difficult because it became difficult to do it. And pressure's on you as a batting unit when you're trying to save a game for your team. And all it takes is enough balls to be in the right area for you to crumble. And if you've ever been on a field with a team trying to squeeze a victory and you're just trying to defend it and you have 5 or 6 blokes around you saying this, saying that, calling you this, calling you that, and then you can literally feel all the pressure around you. It's so difficult, and you have to have such a strong head and you have to have the wealth of experience of doing that in order to actually get through that situation. And I suppose them not being able to do it, get over that line, will be difficult for them and it will hurt a lot. Talking from experience, it does hurt a lot when you don't do it. But it is something you can remember. It's something you'll go away and you'll try and improve on, and try, if you get yourself into that situation again, is try and apply something that you've learned from the previous time. So, yeah, potentially it could be. We put a bit of pressure on them and they could falter, because generally you look at Notts as you look at a team of superhumans, you know, like people who are obviously fantastic cricketers, you know, talent oozing out of every pore in that side. But at the end of the day, it's how you deal with pressure. And if you deal with it well, you come out on the right side of the coin. And if you don't, you tend to crumble, and the game finds you out when you don't deal with pressure. So I suppose dealing with pressure is something that they will potentially be looking at if they want to fight for promotion contention.
100%. And Dustin, again, maybe just something for Derbyshire to mull heading into this summer. Win the toss. Yeah. Have a bat first against Notts. Play the cards right, and who knows? You could get some big victories against Notts if the luck of the coin toss is in your favour. I just thought that was a really interesting stat because, again, it was very niche. I had to really delve deep into the archives for that. So, yeah, Notts, obviously no apparent weaknesses, but that could be something to exploit for some of the teams heading into this summer.
And then analysts would have had all of that already, mate. We've got so much dirt on everyone, and like everyone would have on us as well. They'd find places to exploit. It's just how it is.
It is, yeah. To be fair, that's the perils of the modern game, isn't it? Data's everywhere. There's stats, there's footage, there's videotape. Nowhere to hide. As you rightly alluded to.
Yeah, and it's just having the right place to execute the plan that you put in place early on. That's the thing.
100%. But I think we're all in agreement here, to be honest, as are probably many people in the country. Notts, they're going to be up there, aren't they? Personally speaking, I'd be shocked if they don't get promoted, but it's a funny game, is the game of cricket. So we'll have to wait and see. But I do fancy Nottinghamshire to win Division 2, if all goes well, in 2022. So chaps, we've got 2 more teams to cover, and we'll start on the South Coast with the Martlets, Sussex County Cricket Club, who, as of this recording, still don't have a captain, which is a little bit worrying. In fact, across any formats, they haven't got any captains. So we'll have to wait and see with regards to those announcements. Maybe by the time this episode is out, they will have made that decision. But in terms of the transfers, the major movings, for the Martlets in 2022. Obviously, the overseas. Mohammed Rizwan, Chiteshwar Pujara, Josh Phillippe. What a contingent that is. And then they've also brought in the likes of Stephen Finn from Middlesex and Finn Hudson-Prentice from Derbyshire. At the same time, though, as good and as viable as those transfers are, they've also lost a lot of players. Phil Sort has gone to Lancs. Chris Jordan has gone to Surrey. Ben Brown, a massive loss. He's gone to Hampshire. In fact, they've replaced him with Tom Allsop for the season on loan from Hampshire. Then they've got rid of Aaron Thomason. He's been released. And then Stuart Meeker and Mitch Claydon have both retired. Matt, I'll start with you first on this one. In terms of strengths and weaknesses, how do you see the Martlets facing and faring in this year's championship?
Yeah, I mean, who were we talking about? We were talking about Leicestershire, weren't we, in terms of youth? Mm-hmm. And Suffolk to another one, who I almost wonder, to be honest, if Suffolk have gone a little bit, taken it to extremes. I mean, they were, you know, full credit to bringing through youth, a fantastic thing to do. But yeah, I do wonder if they perhaps took it a bit too far, because they were playing, I think, 15 and 16-year-olds, weren't they, at one point? I mean, Dan Ibrahim, don't get me wrong, brilliant talent, but is he ready yet? So I think maybe if those players have come on another year and, you know, they've got a winter under their belt and they've trained alongside, the solid, experienced players like Luke Wright and Stephen Finn, who they've brought in, then it could all click, and that could be, you know, they could be almost the wild card, in the sense that no one quite expects them to do well because nobody quite knows what to expect from them. But if it doesn't work, if they are still a little bit raw, then they might fall again. I mean, they certainly fell last season, didn't they? I think they finished bottom. They went into the bottom division and they were either fifth or sixth in that. So, yeah, it's that batting will need to stand up. I mean, it should stand up with Tom Hearns, who definitely had a shout for an England call. Certainly, I can't remember if he got into the Lions squad, but he certainly had a shout for it. And then Dustin, you'll know Finn Hudson-Prentice, he's a serious, proper talent, certainly in terms of bowling, and quality all-rounder. So if those young players have come on and they've recruited well, then it could click. But at the same time, if it doesn't, I think to be honest, with Suffolk, it goes one of two ways. I think it goes really well or it goes really badly again. I can't see them being middling contenders. I think they'll either go up or they'll finish bottom two.
I would agree with that, to be honest, because they have taken a massive risk. And it's high risk, high reward, of course. This is a long-term project, as is Leicestershire's. They've gone even more extreme, though. And I saw the looks of almost, what a safe surprise, when I mentioned Leicestershire with that 25 years of age. Sussexes, hold on to something here, chaps. 22.8 years of age. 22.
Me.
Average.
And like that's
including the likes of Rizwan and Pujara. So without those experience options, it'd be around about 22 to 21. This is the youngest squad in county cricket heading into this summer. So I do think, personally speaking, as much as it'd be lovely to have this fairy tale and for them to reach Division 1, I don't think they're ready just yet, personally speaking. But with that being said, they've got some excellent talent in there. And definitely, Martlets fans, you've got a lot of good young talent to watch out for heading into this summer. Tom Haynes, the leading run scorer in the 2021 Championship, with 1,176 runs at 47. Jack Carson with the ball, 36.1. And then you've got the likes of Dan Ibrahim. You've got the likes of a Tom Hindley as well. Tom Hindley's someone to watch out for. Young left-arm wrist spinner. Could we see him in 2022? We'll have to wait and see. But then, of course, you've got the likes of Jamie Atkins, Sean Hunt, Henry Crocombe as well in the same department. Ali Orr with the bat. It's a young squad, but it's an exciting squad. I just don't see them as being ready necessarily in this year's competition. Dustin, this is going to be a tough question, actually, considering all of that young talent at the Martlets' disposal. Who would you say is the player to watch out for Sussex in 2022? If you could just pick one, who'd you select?
Oh, tough question. I'm looking forward to seeing what Stephen Finn does for him. He's an experienced bowler. He's quick, and what I do know is that they are preparing tough bowling wickets, flat wickets, to produce cricketers who can play on these sorts of wickets. You know, these young lads growing up playing on hard, tough conditions, are only going to make them better in the long run. And I would love to see what Stephen Finn is going to do on these wickets in these conditions to help that young seam attack come through. Of course, like, we're going to have the likes of Finn, who's got some experience now, who's just coming to the side. And then they've got a contingent of young seamers who I felt stood up quite well, especially from a young seam department. They would have learned so much from last season. It would have been so much a wealth of experience that they'll keep in the memory bank, and they'll only look to get better and better. And I think what they obviously have gone to the extreme, with the young side that they have, but I do think in a few years that will pay off, and that investment that they've made into that young side will come through. But I do think I want to see what Stephen Finn will do, because obviously he'll lead the attack from a seam bowling point of view, and so I'm looking forward to see what he actually does for them.
Nice choice that, to be honest, Dustin. Very, very nice choice. There were a lot to choose from, though, weren't there? In both an experience and, of course, a youth perspective. But yeah, it'll be interesting for the Martlets. We'll have to wait and see. Again, we could be proven wrong, but yeah, if we keep on coming back to this recurring theme, it's about time. This is a project, it's a marathon, not a sprint. And I think that's very much applicable to Sussex in 2022. But gents, we now move on to our eighth and final team for tonight's preview show. Our neighbours here in the West Midlands, Worcestershire County Cricket Club. In terms of transfers, we'll start with the players who have come in to the Pairs for 2022. The marquee signing, of course, Azhar Ali, former Pakistan captain, does not get much better than that. Got so much county experience for Somerset as well. Then they brought in the likes of Ben Gibbon from Cheshire. We spoke to him on the podcast. Pretty good young bowler. Watch out for him. Very, very strong action again, quite repeatable. And he does get wickets, as he showed in the national counties in 2021. And then I'm not sure whether these two will feature in the Red Bull side, but you've got Taylor Cornell. He's come in from Lancashire. And then Ed Pollock has made the switch from the Bears to the Pairs. But I think he'll be more towards the white ball outfit, to be honest. In terms of departures, some big ones for Worcestershire. First and foremost, the club legend, Darrell Mitchell, has retired. Ross Whiteley has gone to Hampshire. And Alex Milton has been released. I hope Alex comes back one day. Genuinely, I thought he had a very, very promising career in county cricket, but yeah, somehow hasn't got a club in 2022. So we'll have to wait and see if he can get selected at some point. But in terms of the Pairs then, Dustin, I'll start with you because you had some experience facing them last summer. Strengths and weaknesses. How do you assess the Pairs heading into Division 2 this year?
Strengths, they've got a fantastic little bowling unit, I think. Ed Barnard is probably solidifies a nice all-rounder position for them. I think he performed really well for them last year. I think they got exciting young talents in Dylan Pellington. I thought he bowled really well, particularly against us. It was a wicket that wasn't doing a hell of a lot, and he ran in and he hit the wicket hard. And he just seemed like he's a fantastic little cricketer, specifically from the bowling point of view. I do think a big strength of theirs with Joe Leach obviously doing what he does. He's a stalwart for them, and he's been for a long time. So I do think that they've got a lovely little seam attack. And from a batting point of view, I think they've got a lot of potential. They did show a lot of that potential against us, particularly last year. It's difficult because, I mean, I found that they could have done with a proper all in all spinner. I know De Oliveira does do that job slightly for them, but I've always found that they could do with the all in all spinner. someone who specifically works in that department. And they could value from someone doing that. But really, like I've always found them a very gritty, very scrappy side. They play for each other. It's clear to see that they're all good friends and they're close-knit team. They spend a lot of time in the field, I know, at Worcester, because it is quite a flat wicket, and those times is where you come together the most, really. And you can see that with them, and it resonates. So from our perspective, like, the unity as a team is a strength, because it means they fight for each other. I think their seam department's covered, really.
That's a great point, to be honest, Dustin. Again, it's an intangible, you can't measure it with stats, but they are a very, very good unit. As you mentioned, Worcestershire usually are, to be fair, though, because they have that community sense around the club, a bit like Derbyshire and Leicestershire, to be honest. And they have got some really, really good options in 2022. Jake Libby, who I was shocked, to be honest, to see him not make the Lions squad after scoring 1,075 runs at 56.57. He was fantastic. Joe Leach as well with the ball, always reliable for Worcestershire. 38 wickets at 30.02. And Ed Barnard, he continues to impress. And he's only in his mid-20s as well. If Worcestershire can keep hold of him, you've got potentially a decade of Ed Barnard dominance. So, yeah, we'll have to wait and see how he fares in the rest of his career, but definitely someone to watch out for. Ben Cox with the gloves, one of the best in the entire country. So, all in all, Worcestershire have got a nice mix. They really have. But the thing which could go against them, as you mentioned rightfully so there, Dustin, is the spin option. And I think that they could have done with a top-quality spinner. They tried it with Ishodi, played one game against Warwickshire, took 6 wickets at New Road, funnily enough. I just feel like that's something they could have invested in. It would have been difficult to balance the side. I can see why they've gone with D'Oliveira as the main option. But I do think, just as someone to apply that pressure, tighten the metaphorical screw, I think they could have done with a spinner. But with that being said, you've got D'Oliveira, Josh Baker, someone to watch out for as well. Very, very impressive as part of the England Under-19 World Cup squad. So we'll have to wait and see how those two fare in 2022. And one other thing as well, and granted, this might be due to the surface. New Road is basically what it says on the tin, is a little bit of a road at times. It can be very flat. But only 2 of Worcestershire's 12 bowlers in 2021 averaged less than 30 with the ball, which, when you compare that to elite attacks, the likes of Warwickshire, Nottinghamshire, Durham, not really comparable. So that's something which Worcestershire could definitely look at improving, shall we say, heading into this upcoming summer. With that being said, though, Matt, we'll round off with you for Worcestershire. Player to watch out for. Who would you select and why? Who do you think will be the real key factor, the key cog of the pairs in 2022?
Well, I think you've mentioned him there, and to be honest, it's almost explained it why. I was thinking about Brett D'Oliveira because they will depend on him so much in terms of the spin option. And I mean, you know, again, you both mentioned about New Road being an absolute road. I mean, yeah, it's just, I don't know why that's the case. I don't know if it's because it floods. I don't know all about the geometrics of it and why it is so flat. But it doesn't even seem to break up. It doesn't even seem to take a bit of spin. It just seems like you can bat on it for 4 days. And so, whether it does start, if it does start to break up, if it does start to dry out, say if you get, you know, 2 or 3 days where it's really hot in the middle of summer and it does start to break up, then that spin option becomes an option. And if D'Oliveira, then there's a lot of weight put on his shoulders. So if he impresses, then he can perhaps win them a game that they might not otherwise have won. And with there only being 8 teams in the division, you know, we've had this thing in the county championship for as long as it's been 2 divisions, you know, you can finish 4 and be a long, long way off the promotion chair. And it's the fact that this, you know, because there's not very many teams in it, you know, if you take, for example, a quick look at a football league table, you finish 7th, you think, oh, that's a really good season. It's not in the championship, you know, it's next to bottom. So, and the fact that if they do win a game that they wouldn't otherwise have won, then that can make all the difference come the end of the season.
It most certainly can, Matt. And I know this is a little bit slightly off topic, but how nice is it to see the surname D'Oliveira with the captain's armband at Worcestershire County Cricket Club? A surname which is just, it's covered in prestige, history, glory, tradition, and is synonymous with that great cricketing institution. So wishing Brett the best of luck, to be honest, as captain. I know obviously it means an awful lot to him to represent the club as the skipper. And if things can click again, Worcestershire, we'll have to wait and see. Could they contend? Absolutely. But who knows? We'll have to wait and see what county cricket has in store for us heading into this summer. But chaps, I mean, that is basically it for what's been a mammoth episode of the County Cricket Podcast. Listeners, you may have noticed I haven't asked for predictions tonight. And there's a reason for that. We're going to be covering those as the season goes along. If you've listened to our predictions in the past, apart from my one last summer with Warwickshire, they don't usually tend to go that well. So for the time being, we're holding our fire. We're holding our proverbial horses. And yeah, we're going to provide the predictions after a couple of games. But it's going to be a great season. Dustin, of course, wishing you and the Derbyshire boys all the very best of luck heading into the summer. Got absolutely no doubt that you'll do us here at the County Cricket Podcast very, very proud indeed. And get a shed load of wickets, maybe some runs as well. Get that average up. Always nice, isn't it, Dustin, heading into the summer. And Matthew as well, thank you very much for joining me. It's been an absolute pleasure, mate. Been great having that Nottinghamshire perspective. And as you both know, always welcome back here on the County Cricket Podcast. But that is basically it for us three here at TCCP for tonight's recording. To all of you wonderful listeners out there, thank you very much for tuning in. And as always, guys, we'll see you on the next one.